Welcome to the Vintage Faith Podcast. We are a Foursquare church based in Culver City, California. We're committed to taking care of our community through the teachings of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. Our heart is to encounter God, equip the church, and love the city. Expect to hear sermons from our senior pastor, Matt Kladnick, as well as our guest speakers. For more info, check us out at vffchurch.com.
In just a moment, we're going to have a little video, which is kind of gets us set up for our sermon today. And the video is going to be about a woman, one of the first women who found out that Jesus had actually risen from the grave. And it is fitting today that our preacher would be a female preacher.
Woo! Come on.
If we're going to be true to Scripture, the very first witnesses of the resurrected Lord were
girls. Right.
So it's fitting that we have a girl in the house to bring the word. Who is excited to hear from Pastor Grace? Enjoy this movie clip as she gets ready to come and deliver the word to us.
I don't really know how. What would be the word for terrified and excited? Do you know? Huh. Well, all I know is we were both of those things that morning. And that I ran faster than sandals ought to be able to carry you. We had to tell everybody else what happened. After Jesus was crucified, it was all over. I mean, were we wrong about him? We had to have been. Jesus was dead, so we hid in fear. That morning, a small group of us women went to prepare his body with spices and ointments. I mean, it was the very least that we could do, you know? Even though none of this made any sense. For 3 days, that was the longest 3 days of my life. We were so afraid. Oh, but Sunday. My head was racing faster than my feet. We bolted from that tomb. None of the other disciples were going to believe when we tried to explain. I mean, a massive sealed tombstone moved. Those Roman soldiers silenced. Blinding angels, unnecessary grave clothes, now lay folded neatly inside an empty tomb as if they had some sort of secret to tell. Well, a picture's worth a thousand words, the empty tomb. It's worth a thousand promises. Do you see what this means? We were waiting for the Messiah to come and restore Israel. Jesus exceeded all our expectations. I mean, He was the Messiah that nobody could contain. So we were hoping too small. This means that everything that has been taken, God can restore. If there is a way to be made, it's through Him. If there is hope in this world, His name is Jesus the Christ. Oh, He lives. He lives, the Messiah. Our Messiah. My Messiah. Yes, Jesus. He's alive. Secret's out. It's out. Glory.
Amen. The secret's out. Hi, everyone. Welcome. I'm so glad that you're here. Like they said, I'm Grace. Matt is my husband, if you are new and you haven't met us. Matt, who is up here, we co-lead this church together, and we're just so honored and happy that you are here for Easter 2022. Can you believe it? It's been a crazy couple of years. I think this is really, last year we had Easter outside because we had to, and we are in the building, and it's a pretty phenomenal thing. Can you believe what's happened the last couple of years? Should we not even go there? Are you just like, could we just talk about the risen Lord? Okay. So I Googled something the other day. And that can be dangerous, right? I Googled how many Christians are there in the world, right? This is what Google tells me. So if Google's wrong, I'm sorry, but my research only started and ended at Google. So we'll see. 2.38 billion people practice some form of Christianity globally. That means that about one-third of the world's population is Christian. That is all of Europe, all of China, all of the United States, that many Christians on the earth. And maybe today there'll be a few extra added to that number. So one in three people say that they're a Christian. Is anyone else kind of surprised by that? I don't know. We live in LA, and I feel like, are you out there? Do you know Jesus? Right? Like, ah, like we're putting our signals out. We're putting our signals out. We're waiting to hear back. Is there anybody? So Jesus' ministry on this earth, the numbers don't add up. He had 12 disciples, one of which betrayed him. He had about 120, at the time of his death, he had about 120 people that would say that they followed Jesus. How did we get from 120 to 2.38 billion? Can I tell you it's in one word? The resurrection. The resurrection. This is the foundation of our Christian faith. Without the resurrection, it was all a lie. You guys okay? We good in here? We good? Jesus said repeatedly in Scripture that he would die and he would be raised again 3 days later. And had he not truly been raised again, all of the words that he said, all of the things that he did would be not even worth repeating. He would have been a liar, a fake. He proved it when he conquered death. This is good news for you. So turn to someone and say, this is actually good news. This is the good news. Come on, balcony. I don't see you moving around. This is the good news. Tell somebody up there. Remember in John 2, and the Jewish people were looking at Jesus, and they said, what sign can you show us to prove your authority to do all this that you're doing and saying who you are? You're saying you're God. Prove it. What are you going to do to prove it? And what did Jesus say? Destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days. Now, we read that, and we know what he's talking about. At the time, they were like, you better not tear down our temple. They weren't connecting the dots, but Jesus was saying all along, this is what's going to happen. He was preparing them. He was putting out little breadcrumbs. This morning, we put out little jelly beans for the kids, right? The three little girls, and they woke up to a jelly bean trail. Apparently, this is a big deal, and for the rest of my life, I'm going to have to do this for my children, because last night, they were going to bed, and they were like, are the jelly beans going to be out? And I was like, is he risen? They'll be there. So little Mabel, who's 5 years old, I hear, I'm in the bathroom getting ready, and I hear her so excited. And I'm like, what's going on? And I come out, Matt, God love him, is still sleeping, you know? Because he's risen. He can sleep through the storms, right? He's sleeping. That'll preach a whole other sermon. He's sleeping, and I see little Mabel right at his face. Dad, there's jelly beans. It's Easter. I'm so excited. Get up. 6 a.m. He is risen. So why do we celebrate all of that? Why do we get so excited about this truth? It is a game changer. Tell the person next to you, it's a game changer. It's a life changer. One word, resurrection. So when Jesus conquered death and was raised to life 3 days later, it caused this small group of followers who were afraid and scared, because when Jesus died, they thought, oh man, what have we been doing for the last 3 years? What have we been believing? And are they coming for us next? There was fear, there was confusion, there was disillusionment. Have you ever put your hope and trust in something and it's failed you? A friendship, a relationship, a job, you've put your hope and trust in something and it's failed and you're left wondering? Anybody? So 2020 came and you were like, this is good. I saw this coming. No, you didn't. Nobody saw all the prophets. I was like, where have you been? You know, like people prophesying stuff. I'm like, nobody predicted this was going to happen. So when we put our hope and trust, even in the everyday needs that we think that are going to come and they don't, we get scared. We get disillusioned. We get discouraged. And that's where these disciples have found themselves. But what happened with the resurrection is it put courage inside of these men and women, and they began to be filled with the power, the same power that raised Christ from the dead, filled them. That is how we get to 2.38 billion, because you cannot stop the move of God. Death itself couldn't stop it. Come on, this is good news. This is good news for you. This is not about an Easter bunny and some eggs once a year. This is about a risen God who you can have relationship with, who is not dead. That means when you pray, he hears you and he answers. That means when you die, you will rise again. That means when you have someone who has known the Lord and they've gone on before you, you get the hope that you get to see them again. There is hope in the resurrection. Anybody excited about the resurrection matters? It was such a monumental time in history that time itself was split, BC, AD. If this is a hoax, man, we've been believing it for a long time. The resurrection matters. Every date in history is dated by that day. It's foundational to our faith. Without the resurrection, the belief in God's saving grace through Jesus is destroyed. Without the resurrection, it's just a sad story of a man who was disillusioned himself and went and died. The resurrection was a real, literal, physical raising of Jesus' body from the dead. The resurrection showed the fulfillment of all the Old Testament prophecies. The resurrection proved that what Jesus claimed was actually truth. The resurrection shows that Jesus has the power over death. The resurrection shows that we can truly be forgiven of our sins. The resurrection shows that we no longer need to be afraid to die. One of the universal fears is the fear of death. You do not need to fear death when you know Jesus. There is life after, and it is with him. The resurrection proves to us that when Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. How can a dead man prove that? A dead man can't never leave us, but a risen Jesus will never leave us or forsake us. The resurrection gives us hope. So there's so many things that I could say on Easter Sunday, and it's such a privilege to be able to bring the word of God. Thank you for not leaving yet. And I was praying and asking the Lord, like, what am I supposed to say? Like, there's so many things you can say, right? And then sometimes that's just too much. I'm like, narrow it down. Can I just get up there and say, he is alive? And then we could go and have a coffee and baptize some people and call it good. And I really felt like I was supposed to remind us of the hope that we have in Christ. I felt like we needed to take a moment, because you could be anywhere right now, and you're here. So will you lean in for the next 15 minutes? Will you ask the Lord to speak to your heart in your life? And I know for some of us, it's like, man, this is the first time I've been in a church in a while, and this I'm new to this, or I feel a little uncomfortable. Would you lean into the uncomfortable for a moment? Because I believe that God wants to speak with you. I believe God wants to touch you, and he wants to infuse you with hope. Does anyone need a little bit of hope in their life? So let's follow this timeline. Emma read the scripture during worship, which was so beautiful, of the women coming to the tomb and discovering that the stone had been rolled away and there was an empty tomb. So on Friday, he was crucified. We call that Good Friday. Why is it good? Because he went for us. He bore our sin on that cross. That's why it's good. And then they buried him in a tomb. And on Saturday, everyone scattered. Everyone was afraid. Everyone was sad and grieving. Have you ever lost someone and all of your hopes and dreams of what was going to be with that person? That's how the disciples and these followers felt. Now what? Now what are we going to do? And you could feel this tension on Saturday, the unknowing. Now we know. We know what's coming. But you have a group of people who were afraid and scared on Saturday. And then Sunday comes and the women go to the tomb and they see that the tomb is empty. Then Jesus appears to Mary Magdalene and he says, go. He tells her, go preach the first Easter sermon. Love it. Go and tell the disciples that I'm alive. She runs to the disciples who are hiding, who are afraid, who are scared. And she says, you don't understand. He is risen. He is risen still. I don't know. It seems so far out of their idea of what could happen. They've completely forgotten about Lazarus and how Jesus raised him from the dead. But apparently now in this moment, they've completely forgotten about all the times that Jesus said, you could tear this temple down and I will rise it again. They have clearly forgotten. Have you ever been so discouraged, so disillusioned, so much in pain that you have forgotten the truth of who Jesus is? Have you ever been in a place where you've completely forgotten about the goodness? We come into church and we have the goodness of God and you're like, yes, that's right. You walk out the door and you're like, he's left me. He's not going to come through. I'm never going to make it. I'm a failure. And we completely forget. Has anyone ever been there? So we find the disciples and they're in this place. And someone's coming and testifying and say, he is alive. But it's so beyond their comprehension. It's so beyond the pain of what they are feeling, that the pain feels so real that they have not yet been able to grab a hold of the hope of the truth of what's happened. And sometimes we are so locked up in our pain. And I'm here to tell you right now, Jesus enters into the pain. He went to that cross fully experiencing the pain of death so that he can say to you, I fully understand what it is to feel the pain of separation. He is the only one who can give us that kind of hope. The only one. So we have this story, and we're going to open up our Bibles into Luke 24. If you have your Bible, please open it up. This is one of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and the Gospels all will give you an account of the resurrection. I encourage you to go and read through them. And if you do not have a Bible, you have a Bible app. You have a Bible under your seat if you want to grab that. And guess what? If you don't have any of it, it's okay. We're going to have it on the screen, okay? We got you. We got you, Easter 2022. So Luke 24, chapter 24. So we have Friday, we have Saturday, we have Sunday. The women go to the tomb. It's empty. Jesus appears to Mary Magdalene. She goes and tells them. And then we have this random story, but it's not so random with God, of two men. One we know his name, but the other we do not. Two men walking away from Jerusalem, which tells me they were getting out of there and going home. They were on a 7-mile journey to get out of town. When was the last time you walked 7 miles in sandals, okay? This was a journey for these men. So they were on this road, and this is where Jesus meets them, the risen Jesus, okay? He meets them. Can we read this together? Oh gosh, I almost lost my Bible. Luke 24, 13 to 27. Jesus, let's just pray. Jesus, we want to hear your words. We want to meet with you. I pray our ears would be open, our eyes would be open to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. And as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. We're going to pause right there. So we have these two men. They were followers of Jesus. They weren't two of the disciples. We know that. But they were followers of, so they're a part of that 120, right? And we know that one is named Cleopas. I think that's how you say it. And they're going in the opposite direction of Jerusalem. They're going home. They're sad. They're scared. They're all over the place. And they're talking with each other about what's going on. Can you believe that this happened? Can you believe he died? And what are we going to do? I thought that was our path. I thought that's what we were doing for the rest of our lives. And now let's just go home. And I see that Jesus comes up and he begins to talk to them, but they were kept from recognizing him. Sometimes in our life, we don't realize that we've been walking with Jesus until we've walked through something and we look back and go, oh, he was with us all along. Where are you on this road? You might be in this place in your life where you're like, is he here? Like what? And you might look back and go, man, his hand was on my life and I didn't even know it. He was with me. Because remember, he said, I'll never leave you. So that's that promise of a risen, alive God. You're not gonna walk alone. But sometimes we don't see it. Sometimes we don't know. We don't recognize that it's the Lord. It says they were walking with Jesus, talking about Jesus, and yet not recognizing they were with him. Is it possible that you can come to church, sing songs, listen to sermons, and still not recognize that you are with Jesus? You look at someone else's relationship with Jesus, and you see Jesus there, but we don't recognize him in our own life. There's this great quote from Rich Valdez, who is a preacher and an author, and he says, Judas is the one that betrayed Jesus. It says, Judas agrees to betray Jesus. Judas has been with Jesus for 3 years as one of the 12 disciples. Being around Jesus doesn't automatically mean we are being formed by Jesus. Here's a man who walked with Jesus with the 11 other disciples for 3 years and yet betrayed him to be killed. You can walk alongside Jesus your whole life and not be formed by him. And we have two men walking on this road not knowing who they're talking to, but they're talking about him. I remember this verse that said something like, you might do all of these things in my name, but at the end of your life, I'll look at you and go, I don't even know who you are. Are you being formed by Christ? Do you know a lot of information about him, but has it penetrated? Has it done something in your heart, in your life? Have you let the work of the gospel, the good news of Jesus being risen, have you let it done its work in your life? Has it formed you? is it forming you? So then let's go on. So verse 17, he says, he asked them, what are you discussing together as you walk along, as if Jesus doesn't know? And they stood still, their faces downcast. One of them named Cleo, we'll call him because I can't say the whole name, asked him, are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days? What things? When Jesus asks you a question, it's not because he doesn't have the answer. I love that about Jesus. He knows the answer, but I love that he wants to draw out truth from you. He asked about Jesus of Nazareth. They replied, he was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped. Say, but we had hoped. That he was the one who is going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it's the third day since all of this took place. They had hoped that Jesus was going to set the Jewish nation free from bondage to Rome and to usher in this kingdom of God, but it looked different than they had hoped. Where we put our hope and what we hope in matters. And sometimes we have an expectation of how Jesus is going to show up. And when he doesn't show up that way, we think that he's not moving. We think he doesn't love us. We think he's left us. We had hoped. And it's significant that they said, and now it's the third day. Well, in Jewish custom, the third day when someone was dead, they were dead. That's when they believe that their spirit had left. But not only that, what's so surprising to me, let's read on. Verse 22, we're getting there because we got baptisms and we're almost done here. And verse 22, it says, in addition, some of the women have amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. And he said to them, Jesus says this to them, how foolish you are and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter into glory? He's reminding them, remember, you've heard this. You heard that this was going to happen. And now the women are even telling you he's not there. Don't you remember? And he begins to tell them and preach to them from Moses all the way through to that time, the prophecies that God had made and that Jesus was fulfilling by being raised from the dead. This is what I don't understand about this. Why couldn't they have waited till Monday? Right at that moment, they needed to hightail it home. How often do we do this? When we're on the cusp of seeing God's miraculous in our life and we're like, no, I'm good. I'm going to start walking 7 miles in sandals on a dirt road and just doing my own thing because that sounds better than waiting and hoping. But when your hope is not in Jesus and your hope is in something else, you walk away from the miracle. You walk away prematurely from the miracle because your hope was in something else. Their hope was in this deliverance that was going to happen. And they didn't realize. And Jesus kept telling them, I've come to serve. I've come to lay down my life for all of humanity. And my life will be raised again. And they were hoping for something different. And how often in our lives we're so close to seeing the miracle. If we had fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. That's the good news. Where is your hope today? I think the last several years have revealed where our hope was, and we didn't even realize it. We might have said, of course my hope is in God. Of course my hope is in Jesus. But as soon as we began to lose, as soon as things began to fall apart around us, we quickly realized that maybe our hope was in other things. And it's in his kindness that he's revealed that to us. I remember my junior year of high school. I was a terrible student. My mom still is sad about it, and I'm 40 years old. And if I could have majored in cheerleading and socializing, I would have been valedictorian. I would have given the speech, and it would have been fun, you know? But school these days, they don't prioritize that, which I think is a shame. And we'll talk about education later, but education reform, we're going to do some things different. But I remember I went to my guidance counselor because about junior year, all my friends were applying to colleges. I was like, that sounds fun. That sounds fun. College sounds fun. So I go to my guidance counselor and I said, hey, my friends are going to these colleges. They're getting accepted already. I'm ready. Let's sign up. And she, you know, pulled up my papers and she said, okay, here's what I'm going to say to you. Don't get your hopes up. I said, that's what we're paying you to do? I thought you were a guidance counselor. I feel sad now. I feel depressed. What do you mean, don't get my hopes up? She said, well, according to your paperwork here and your grades, you know, it's not going to work out for you, that college. Don't get your hopes up. Well, no, I shouldn't have gotten my hopes up. Because I was looking at all these colleges that my friends that were in these AP classes and they did all the things and they had great grades all through school and they actually did their homework. And I'm looking at them going, they're going to college and it looks really fun. I want to do that with my friends. I couldn't get my hopes up for that. But when I look back on that time in my life and I see what God did, even despite how terrible of a student I was, and how it led me on my journey as I trusted him, honestly. Because that was a defining moment for me. I'm like, I'm not going to, you know, how am I going to do this? What's my future going to look like? And I began to put my focus on Jesus. When I look back, if this guidance counselor would have been maybe my youth pastor, and she could have said, or he could have said to me, put your hope in Jesus and let's see what happens. But if your hope is in these other things that you think should happen for you, you're going to be disillusioned. You're going to be let down. When we say yes to Jesus and putting our hope in Jesus, we're saying yes and yielding ourselves to his will. I was reminded of when he told the disciples how to pray. And he said, pray, your kingdom come, your will be done. And then I remember Jesus in the garden before he went to be crucified, and he was praying with such anguish that he was crying and bleeding, and he was just saying, God, if there's any other way, would you remove this from me? The cross, he knew what it was going to be. If there's any other way, would you remove this from me? But not my will, but your will be done. And when we put our hope in Jesus, the worship team is going to come on up and we're going to finish with the song. When we put our hope in Jesus, we yield to his will. And why is this good news? Because we can trust this Jesus. That passage in Luke goes on to talk to us about, they ask Jesus, continue walking with us, continue talking with us. And when he sits down and he breaks bread, suddenly their eyes are opened and they know that this is Jesus. And they run back 7 miles back to Jerusalem to tell the disciples he is alive. Then later on, we see that Jesus appears to the disciples. He says, don't be afraid. When we put our hope in a risen Jesus, those words can be so true for us. Don't be afraid. When we put our hope in a risen Jesus, the words of, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you, can be so true for us. John 11, 25 to 26 says, this is Jesus, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, he shall live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? This is our question today, Easter 2022. Where is our hope? Will we put our hope and our trust and our belief in a risen God? But we had hoped that person would never let me down. But we had hoped my marriage would make it through this storm. But we had hoped my kids would never get sick. But we had hoped a pandemic would never blow up everybody's lives and destroy relationships. But we had hoped. Church, it's time that we put our hope where it matters, in a risen God. Amen. Who is alive, who is the one who can reconcile all of our relationships, us to the Father, who can forgive us of our sins. This is the good news. Get your hopes up. Don't get them up in your grades at school like I was trying to, but get your hopes up in Jesus. Would you stand with me?
Can we say amen to that, church? Praise God for his word.
As we begin to worship this last song, I want to invite you, if you need to say yes to Jesus and you're realizing my hope has been put in so many other things, in so many other people, and it needs to be put in a person, Jesus. As we worship, I want you to just take some inventory. We're almost done. And if you're getting baptized, this is the time that you can walk out and you can get prepared to be baptized. And for you in this room, if you're saying, you know what? I want to give my life to Jesus. I need to start there. I need to start putting my hope in the right place, in the right person of Jesus, because he is alive. And what he says is true. What he says is true. I encourage you, in a moment we'll pray after this song to receive Jesus. But if you want to be baptized today, there's still time. We have clothing for you. This could be your step of faith. This is an inward decision that you've made to follow Jesus, but an outward expression to let people know, I am following Jesus all the days of my life. And just like we saw Jesus being buried in the tomb and coming back to life, that is a picture of baptism. So if that is you and you want to be baptized, I encourage you throughout this whole song, you can come right to the back. Pastor Hillary's back there waiting for you. We have clothing and it's a hot tub, people. When I say hot tub, I mean it's hot. Come on, why don't you just close your eyes for a moment. Jesus, that is who you are. You said it, you proved it, and we get to live in that truth that you are alive, Jesus. And not only that, but the same power that raised you from the dead lives in us. So you didn't just say, yeah, follow after me and read a couple scriptures here and there and you'll do just fine. You said, no, I'm going to put the actual Spirit of God inside of you so that you can do this through the power of God. The same Spirit that raised him from the dead is in you. That is resurrection power. And so Jesus, we say thank you. We say thank you, God, for the plan of salvation. Thank you for the plan of redemption, that we don't have to earn it. We don't have to fight for it. We don't have to muster it up. But God, the gift of salvation is free, and it's for us to say yes and accept. Amen. So if that's you today and you're just saying, I need to say yes to Jesus, maybe for the first time, maybe I did when I was a little boy or girl, but I want to say yes to him again. Why don't you just raise your hand at me? Let me know that that's you. Amen. Amen. Awesome. Awesome. Come on. This is saying yes to Jesus, the risen God who loves you, died for you, and then conquered death itself. Amen. Why don't we pray with those that raise your hands? You guys are so brave. I love it so much. All of us together in this place, why don't you repeat after me? Jesus, I thank you for your death and your resurrection. New life that is found in you. I acknowledge my sin and I turn to you, Jesus. I ask you to forgive me. And I ask that you would put Holy Spirit inside of me. Fill me up to live the life you've called me to. Amen? Amen. Awesome. We're so glad. For those that accepted Christ, maybe for the first time, you are awesome. And now we get to tell Google. We get to add a couple numbers to that number. Hey, listen, for real though, if you said yes to Jesus or you have questions about yes to Jesus, right? You're like, I want to say yes, but I'm like a halfwayer. I'm not fully there, but I'm halfway. We want to answer any questions. We want to pray for you. In the back lobby on the right side as you're coming out is our next steps area. And Pastor Michelle is going to be there and she's going to ask her. And Alma is going to be back there. They're going to answer any questions. If you said yes to Jesus, we have a gift. If this is your first time here, we have a gift for you also. As we leave, we're going to ask you to grab your kids and stick around because we're going to have baptisms. If you said yes to Jesus, you want to get baptized, right now would be a great time to walk out there. Get ready. Get prepared. You guys good? Easter 2022, he is alive. He is risen. We can put our hope in a risen God. Amen. We love you so much. Let's be the church. We'll see you next week.